Well, baptisms are a good thing, amen. And we are having quite a few of those this year. I don't know. Is Alejandra, is Allie here? Is she here? There she is. Come on, I got your certificate for you. Come on up. Or yet, there you go. She doesn't like the crowd. It's okay. All right. All right. So, yes. And we'll have the two that were baptized, we'll have them come up here at the end, and you guys can congratulate them at the end of service. But we are looking at the spiritual gifts this morning. We did our part one. We'll do our final part two here today. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be there for a little bit there. But I want to share with you the list of some other spiritual gifts that the Scripture talks about. But also, there'll be some that we just don't have time to talk about. So I'll mention some of those at the end. But we do have some Scriptures. And I want to remind you that these spiritual gifts, if you are a believer, God has one instilled for you. I do believe these gifts can change over time where God has you, can move and adjust those gifts as he sees fit because they are his spiritual gifts. But we do know that there are these spiritual gifts. They're all given by the Lord, this Holy Spirit, and it is for the purpose of the uplifting of the church, not for our own glory, not for good to go out there and do all of it on our own. It is why that is important that the church gather together and to use these gifts to serve into the church and be an uplifting part of the church. And if you don't think you have a spiritual gift and you are a believer, you're wrong. There is one there, and the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. And sometimes knowing where that spiritual gift is and what it is a part where you begin to start serving in your heart. You just end up moving and serving in some areas, and those areas sometimes can eventually just, that's where you're gifted. You just didn't realize it. But sometimes we know that some of us get into areas that are not our giftedness. We know it, but we're filling a spot because there's a need, and that's okay too. Because we do need those, churches need spots filled. One of the scriptures there we did last week was chapter verse 11. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. These are God's gifts, so he gives them to as he wills. Now, I do want to say that if you've got online, you've seen Facebook, there were a couple of pieces there that you could, a couple of online spiritual gift test surveys that you can do. Just want to remind you, they are not perfect. The more that you take, the less effective it is. You have to have some time span between them because the more that you begin to understand and know what these gifts are, you can actually go through and subconsciously just pick the ones that you like. And you say, oh, I got that one and I got that one. And that's not always true. So you have to be honest with that, honest when you take the test. So the test isn't a perfect piece, but it will show you in the direction that you could be going. So, and there are other tests online. There's a lot of them that are free. But one of the things I would always say is just continue to read the Word. God speaks through His Word. Surveys are good. But again, so I want to pick it up in verse 14, and then we're going to jump through a few pieces. He says, indeed, the body is not one part, but many. The body is not one part, but many. It says in verse 18, but as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts of the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, I cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that are considered less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, then all the members rejoice with it. And then it finishes up. It says, now you are holy of Christ, and individual members of it. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, and third teachers, next miracles, and the gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. All our apostles? No. All our prophets? Are all teachers? Are all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in other tongues? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. And then you move into 13, which is love. So here's what we got. With all this here, these spiritual gifts, there's none that are really better than the others. They are all needed. Yeah, some might be stronger than others, but they are all needed in the church to make the church work. You need all the gifts to make the church work. So here we're going to work on some of these today. But I do want to remind you again, if you are a believer and you have the Holy Spirit, you know that there is a spiritual gift working inside of you. Last week we talked about the gift of giving. We talked about the gift of faith and how to use those. And we also did a flip side. What happens if we don't use them right? Or what some things can happen when you're using it and you're not using it right? And we talked also about fanning it into flame. Sometimes if your spiritual gift has been sitting off to the side, as Paul was speaking to Timothy, you got to fan that gift up. You got to work it a little bit. It's just not something that you have to work it. You have to work it. And if you're not faithful in the church, you're not faithful in worshiping God, then your spiritual gift is going to go stagnant. And so here I want to share with some of these spiritual gifts that God has. They're all scattered through, but this is a great area as well. Ephesians chapter 4, you can find some of them there as well. But there is the gift of administration. Administration is needed. Some of you say, that's not my gift. You know what? That's maybe not your gift. I do want to remind you that doesn't mean that 3 or 4 years down the road, God doesn't give you that gift of administration. Sometimes God's just waiting for you to get where he wants you to be. But the gift of administration is that planning and organizing. You keep things well in line. You're very good about that. You can supervise some others, but you're really supervising a lot of things in that aspect of things that some of those things about planning and all that stuff. You know, today we would use it all. Just we can be very complex in the church today with a lot of organizing and things like that. But the flip side of administration is also is controlling. You don't want to be a controlling person, the person who's all in control. Administration, flip side of it, secrets. There shouldn't be no secrets in the church. It should be transparent. Amen. We should be transparent. Sometimes people with administration, they like to be the key holder and the only key holder. And that's not the way that it works. So we just can't be the only one with the key. I mean, our soup kitchen, there's so many people that have keys. I don't even know who all has keys in Huntington. This church, I don't even know who all has keys here. I don't even know had that because this is not my church. But I'm responsible. But I don't want to come here every time and unlock the door for somebody, and I don't think Phil does either. So people have keys because they need to come in and do whatever they need to do. So the gift administration is very needed in a church and is very needed. It doesn't mean it's a paid spot. Always, it doesn't mean there's all kinds of different things that a church needs when it comes to administration. And then we go to the spiritual gift of discernment. This is discerning. You can hear it as discernment or discerning of spirits. This one here can get complicated, but this is the one where you begin to, you know the difference between what is God's, what is godly, what is demonic, but also what is human. You know the difference. The Holy Spirit gives you that spiritual gift to know when you're in a place, whatever, you're working through, what's demonic, what's of God, the Holy Spirit, and what's human. And so there's activities, there's things that go on. And it may look like it's all about Jesus, and it may look like it's about Jesus, but there's some other things that are going on. And people with the spiritual gift of discernment, they know that. And they're not always running around claiming that, but that is the flip side of it. They've got to remind people with the spiritual gift of discernment need to understand and know that there's not a demon. There's not a demon behind every tree. Okay? Now, some people just say, when it comes to the topics of demonic and evil, I run the opposite direction. And so that's okay, too. I mean, it happens. Listen, if you don't think the demonic comes to church, it does. All you got to do is read the second Mark chapter 2. Jesus came in the synagogue and right there in the place, in the back of the room, and the man says, Jesus, what do you have to do with us? And he was demonic. He was a demon-possessed man in the church. So people with discernment they can lean in on that spirit, that spiritual gift, and know what's spiritual, what's what is of the Lord and what is evil. And believe me, that is his gift. Now, the Bible says that we can desire those gifts. It says, but desire the greater. We can desire gifts. We can ask the Lord to give us a spiritual gift that we may need. And I've done that before. I've said, Lord, we need somebody in the church that has this spiritual gift. If not, give it to somebody that already has a gift. And there's been times I've also said, Lord, I just need you to veer up and just turn up the volume of the spiritual gift of discernment. And so the spiritual gift of discernment is very, very important in the church. But you also got to be reminded that it's not a demon behind every tree. But I tell you, without the gift of discernment, the church is not going to be what the church needs to be, because Satan is always in the room and is always in the shadows waiting for a moment to pounce. And so, I've seen that. So spiritual gift of discernment is needed. And sometimes you'll find spiritual gift of discernment in people. One of the groups that you'll find the spiritual gift of discernment in is usually pastors' wives, very, very strong. A lot of times pastors' wives have this gift. A lot of people think they have the gift. Everybody has some discernment. Everybody has some administration. I almost said if you have a checkbook, you can at least write your checkbook out. But if you're under 30, you probably don't even have a checkbook. So most of you don't. I don't even understand how you keep it together without a checkbook. I still use a checkbook. But everybody knows a little bit about administration. Everybody also knows a little bit about discernment. But the spiritual gift of discernment goes way more and beyond the natural part of discernment. And so discernment is a key part of the church. Okay? We need to make sure that we have people in the church that have discernment. And sometimes these people know each other. It's not a secret club, but they know each other. Did you see or hear anything? Did you hear or see anything today that was different? They know what that means. Other people may not know what that means, but the people with the spiritual gift of discernment know what that means, or if you've been hanging out with somebody who knows what that means. So, listen, if you're fearful of those things, you know, don't ask for a gift that you're not wanting. Don't ask for a gift that you're going to have a hard time handling, okay? That gift does open our eyes up to things that can be different. So, again, the flip side of that is there's not a demon behind every tree, okay? There is not a demonic behind every tree. Next one we have is faith. Faith is needed in the church. Amen. Got to have faith. Jesus would always say, it's by your faith. It is your faith. What is your faith? He's always checking out the faith. We have to have faith. So faith is the gift that is trusted and confidence that God will make it happen. That God will lead us through no matter what. Standing at the Red Sea, you don't have nowhere to go. People with faith says, yes, there's always a way with God. There's always a way with God. People that have that faith always believe that God will make a way. They have confidence in God, knowing that he will make whatever he has planned. It will come to faith. It will come to being. The gift of faith. We all have some faith, though. Amen? We all have some faith. But the spiritual gift of faith is just at another level. And so the spiritual gift of faith is very, very important. This is also sometimes it is accompanied by great works of faith, doing things that just looks impossible to do. They expect God to move even when other people say, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it. They're not surprised by God answering prayers. People with faith will pray prayers that take faith in God for it to happen. They're just not saying, thank you for my day, Lord, bless this day. But they're asking God to intervene in big things for the church and even in their family and in their life. But we all have faith. We all have faith. We all have a measure of faith. We all have a measure of faith. But there are some of those, some of us here today, have the gift of faith. And people with faith, what's amazing with the people of faith, you know what they have? They have tons of testimonies because they're always believing that God is going to do something. They're always seeing and watching and praying. Listen, if you don't pray for God to intervene and do big things, your testimony bucket's going to be really shallow. But we all have a measure of faith, okay? We all have a measure of faith, but this whole thing with faith is a good one for the church. It is a good one for the church, but there's a flip side to the spiritual gift of faith. The spiritual gift of faith is this. Your faith will be tested big time. Everybody has a measure of faith, and everybody's faith will be tested, but those with the spiritual gift of faith, their faith will be tested at a level that most struggle with. Because that faith gift is given by God, and it has to be tested within us. And we're going to see, even Job had that gift of faith. And his was tested at a very high level. And so in the church, we need to know that many of us have the gift of faith, but we all have a measure of faith. We all have some faith. But it will be tested. It will be tested. I'm trying to think of the year. 2018. It was 2018. When we got together and we prayed and fasted in January, and we said, we asked God not to give us any visitors for 6 months. When I shared that with other pastors, they said that was, in their own words, that was stupid. Because what do you think? It's all about church growth. No, it's not. Not all about church growth. It's about a group of people getting right with the Lord. And when you get right with the Lord, God can do amazing things. And God will do amazing things. So here we ask God not to give us any visitors for 6 months. You know what? We prayed and we fasted over that. Guess what? And we did not have a visitor for 6 months. And I share that with my peers. And you know what? This still goes over their head. I still continue to tell them, we're praying that God will give us, and we prayed and fasted in January, that God will give us 20 baptisms this year. Well, you just saw that we're already at 15. A couple years ago, we asked for 2 years that God would give us 25, and gave us 25 right at the very last Sunday of the 2 years. And I still can't get it over my pastor peers that if you take your moment and you call your church out to start praying and fasting, you're going to see big results. I'm telling you, because God wants to get big results in people's lives and churches' lives, and He wants to do that. And so I'm just telling you, here's what we're seeing. If you exercise your faith, God begins to exercise His power. So we see that the spiritual gift of faith gives awesome testimonies. Listen, I can share with you New Life. For the next 25 minutes, I can share with you all about New Life and all about what God has done. And it'll all be geared about faith in the all works of the Lord. I don't need to be mentioned. You don't need to be mentioned. But it's about what we did, asking God to intervene. And we can talk about all those times when we bought this house, when we got that building, when we saw this person come to the Lord, when we didn't have a building and we needed a building, how this one just came over and knocked on our door. All kinds of things. We want to buy a house. We need $65,000 within a couple of weeks. We get in a couple of days. In the exercising of faith, if there is a gift here, faith resides here. Faith resides, and it is here. So, keep that faith, spiritual gift of faith, stoked up. And if you have, in whatever measure of faith you have, keep stoking that faith up. And I promise you, your faith will grow the more you lean on the Lord. Another spiritual gift there is called healings. Some believe that this gift is gone, but I just read scripture and scripture's there. And it says there is a gift of healings. Here's what we see today. We see the gift of healings being on TV. Come, give all your money. Get there on TV. Come on up. And everybody does this. And people who are in wheelchairs, people can't walk, people can't see, they're all healed. My question is this, if it was really a true person of healing, why would you have to have a place and have everybody come and do big offerings? Why wouldn't you be down? Why wouldn't you go down in the middle of Chicago, the back road? Why wouldn't you go to the hospital and start doing some of those things? Why wouldn't you do things? Because Jesus did a lot of healings one-on-one. He did small groups. You people go outside. I just want you and just a couple of us to go inside, and Jesus would do a healing there. Sometimes He did healings in crowds. Yeah, but it is the ability to heal someone physically, and even many times that it comes to the part of the mental as well and emotionally. But here it is. Whatever healing is, it is always to draw spiritual healing as well. Anytime you read healings in the Bible, when Jesus did them, it was always to draw people to a even more than just the physical healing, but it was also a spiritual healing. And so there is a part there that in this healing piece that we see that the Lord has more than just the physical part of the healing. So this whole piece is about God revealing His heart of compassion upon people. Yeah. I mean, God could use angels if He wanted to, and He does, but I believe He also uses people. He gives His people the gift of healings. But sometimes we get to a place on the flip side, we say, sometimes we see, there's a difference between the prophetic piece, the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy, if you have the gift of prophecy, you won't be wrong if it's the gift of prophecy. Because God's never wrong. Okay? But, and you get to the healing, sometimes people want to heal, people heal, but sometimes the Lord doesn't allow. We even see that with the disciples when they wanted to cast out a demon, they couldn't do it. And Jesus says, you're lacking in your faith. You see how these kind of come together? Faith has to be a part, and the healings as well. So sometimes God's will is not for someone to be healed. We don't understand that, but we need to trust with God with that as well. But as always, faith is the key. Jesus would always say, your faith has made you well. So we see faith as a part of that as well. So healings is the real deal. But then we come to this gift called service. Service is probably the most popular one that the Lord uses in the church because there's so many things that need to be done. There's so many things because service draws us to one another. Service draws us to people. So it is probably the gift that most people have. And it is not a gift that is weak. It is a good gift. Listen, it is a good gift. It relieves others to do what they need to do so that they end up doing what needs to be done. And this energizes the church when we have that. So this gift, a lot of people won't seek this gift because they think it's all work. But people with a gift of service, they don't seek recognition. They don't ask for recognition. They don't ask for their names to be in the marquee lights or any of those things. They just love to help out. They do those things. They'll serve in the background. They don't need to be up in front, but they will serve in the background. They're always hanging back. So it might be the last one to leave. So many people tell me, I got the gift of service. I'm like, where are you using it? The gift of serving is the uplifting of the church. So if it's the church and it's about the church, that's why, always go back. These gifts are not for you to run out and be flamboyant with them and be all out. Your gifts are to be used for the uplifting of the church. That's why God, Holy Spirit, give them. So if this is a service, then when things need to be done, we see these people, they're hanging back. They always get what needs to be done. They're the last to leave. Doesn't mean they always like what they're doing, but they know it needs to be done. And they're always willing to help. And you know, these people give up time. They give up so many times they give up time. They give up so much time. People with administration, they'll do other things and they'll be part of meetings, they'll be part of that, but they don't give up time. You don't see sometimes they're not going to be the ones that are going to do. Everybody can do some service, so amen? We see something out of place, we need to pick it up, right? But the people of service, they're always looking. They're always seeing what needs to be done. But the flip side of it is they can get burnt out. People with the gift of service can get burnt out when they're using their gift. They always feel also they have to be at everything that's going on in the church. They have a hard time saying no. They have a hard time saying no. When the church asks them to do something, okay, they have a hard time saying no. They're also sometimes they're afraid of missing something. They're afraid of not knowing something as well. And sometimes they can feel like they're afraid that they might be replaced if they're not there doing it. And most of them don't complain. Where was so-and-so? Where was these people? Where were those people helping out? Da-da-da-da. Sometimes we all get into the flesh, we can say things, but these people that the gift of serving, they love to serve in their heart. They just love to serve. They love to serve. If you have the gift of service, I say thank you personally, because you're doing the things that I used to do when I first started here many years ago, even bivocational. I thank you people. I thank you guys that have the gift of serving, that really use that gift. Thank you. I don't say thank you enough. But you guys that have the spiritual gift of service, I'm so thankful for you guys, and I don't say it enough. Another spiritual gift is the spiritual gift of knowledge. It is not the know-it-alls. It is not the know-it-alls. Remember, this is about the spiritual part for the church. So this person is a person who knows and understands through their experiences and skills throughout the church. They have learned so many things. And so this person is also seeking out biblical knowledge. And so a little bit more than teaching. There have probably been teachers at one time or taught here and there, but this person is usually has some scripture memorized and then some more scripture memorized. These people like to read their Bibles. They live out their faith. They do those things. They just know, but they just know about biblical things. They just know. Like I said, they have some scripture memorized, usually more than just a couple of verses. But the flip side of that of knowledge is this. We need to make sure that if you have the spiritual gift of discernment, that you don't think that you know everything in your own mind. That you are not a know-it-all, and you've got to make sure you don't stop learning. But you also have to do this other thing. You need to be a good listener. People with knowledge want to talk all the time. Not real good on the listening skills. Got to work on listening. Yeah. Gotta work on the listening. And we need people in the church that has knowledge. Amen? Let me remind you, everybody that has gray hair doesn't mean that have the spiritual gift of knowledge, okay? Okay? Just because you have some gray hair doesn't mean you have knowledge, but you might not have the spiritual gift of knowledge. We all have some knowledge, okay? Listen, the knowledge that we're talking here, it's good. It really is good. It is good. And remember, this is about the uplifting of the church. These two can kind of run hand to hand, right with each other, but they're not the same. Knowledge, and then we have wisdom. Wisdom is different than knowledge. Wisdom is knowing how to use what you got. Now, you can be book smart, you can have all that, but wisdom kind of knows what you're doing with it, okay? So the wisdom is a gift of sorting through these facts and sorting through all the data, and you discover here's what we need to do. Here's what kind of needs to be done. And so the wisdom is applying it, trying to think not for themselves. The spiritual gift of wisdom is not thinking for yourself. You're thinking for the church and what's the best for the church. Thinking about how to use what's best for the church. Wisdom is a tough one. It comes, and wisdom usually doesn't talk real quick. Wisdom is processing. A person with a spiritual gift of wisdom is thinking about it, processing. What is it? Looking at this, looking at that, looking at all the avenues for all those things. And so they know how to use what they have, what's in front of them. They're trying to figure that out for the best, what works with the Lord. And they also, with wisdom, they have a deep understanding and they draw into the holiness of God. I'll take someone who has the spiritual gift of wisdom over someone who has worldly wisdom. Any day. Any day. So the spiritual gift of wisdom also has a flip side. Also with wisdom, we also have to make sure that if you have the spiritual gift of wisdom, that if you're not using it right, you can think that your way is... If your way, no, you're not using your way, then you tell everybody, not my way, but the highway. You can just go on over there if you're not going to listen to me. Also have to be a good listener, too. You have to be a good listener. Even if you have the right answers with the spiritual gift of wisdom and you got it down, you still need to be a good listener. You got to make sure you don't feel like you're always right. And you got to be careful of pride. I think wisdom, you have to be careful of pride. Because your last 10 answers to something could be spot on, right on. Everything you've said in the last 4 years of decision making was right on. But then what happens is Satan loves to come in your ear beside you and say, man, you're so smart. And then you don't make any mistakes. You're so good. Look at everything you're doing. So we have to be careful that we use wisdom right. Psalms 111, verse 10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the person with wisdom also fears the Lord. So I know there's some people here with the spiritual gift of wisdom as well. Hospitality. Hospitality. Hospitality is one. And sometimes people can say right out the gate, I don't have that one. And other people can say, yep, I got that one. Hospitality is that special ability that God gives to people to open up their house, be a part of that church, welcoming people that they know in the church, welcoming visitors, but also strangers. And this is what you hear. Come on in. Don't even get up to the door to let you in. They just say, come on in. The door is always unlocked. So here we find out they easily welcome everyone. Everyone. Some of you have the spiritual gift of hospitality. Some of you do not. One thing I would ask you, if you have the spiritual gift of hospitality, when's the last time I came over to your house from the church? If you haven't had anybody over to the house of the church, I pretty much could tell you, you don't have the spiritual gift of hospitality, to the most part. Because hospitality is about the church, right? Our church is not just what's inside these four walls. Amen? We do things outside the four walls. But also, so we need to make sure that we know that we have people that have the spiritual gift of hospitality. As a church, we struggle with hospitality. As a church, we need to be better at hospitality. We as a church, when we have our carry-ins, we need to be better at hospitality. We need to make sure that we are doing things in the right way with hospitality, that our guests are first, that we take care of what we need to take care of. So hospitality is a great piece because it's part of the fellowship. Part of our fellowship offers food and meals and that come on in peace. And if you're doing hospitality at your home, you never ask people really to bring anything because you do the spread yourself. You never ask for compensation for those things. Hospitality is an amazing gift when it's used properly. It's an amazing gift when it's used properly. It really is. We're in a culture today where people don't even go to people's houses. So we're now, I'm going to say that we're not in fear of losing that spiritual gift. But we all can have some hospitality, amen? Now I'm going to say something, and I don't want to hurt your feelings. But not one of you have asked me to your house in the last, nobody's asked me to their house for lunch or dinner in years. Okay? Back in the day, pastors had to fight back and forth. Oh, the Smiths asked me over here. The Joneses asked me over here. I don't know where to go. We're living in a culture where we have to be very, very careful that we're not secluding one another. Okay? The difference is hospitality knocks walls down. Okay? Hospitality opens the door for conversations where you open the door up and you can share the gospel and lead someone to the Lord. As like in my home's going to be open. I don't brag about the gift of hospitality. Sometimes it's just the way it is. I love people. God put it in me. I love people. I've shared the gospel with people in my home. People's come to Christ in my home. Where it was in Fort Wayne, a lot of people came to Christ there. And where I'm at now, I'm going to do that. Does it be because I'm a pastor? No, I was doing it before I was a pastor. Even when some of you come to my house on Halloween, those kind of parties we had all kinds of things. Share the gospel with people out in the woods. We had bonfires, leading people to the Lord. Listen, I want to tell you, hospitality, listen, it says desire the gifts. You can ask, say, Lord, let me have the gift of hospitality. You know why some of you are lonely? Because you won't let people in your life. I know food's expensive, but I'm telling you, it's funny when we put money at than we put our own health at. You know, it's just good to be with people. It's just good to sit across a table and have a cup of coffee or eat a hot dog or something and just sit out in the sunshine or even around a fireplace or a bonfire and just sit there and talk because you're going to talk about things you just don't normally talk about. And you're opening up and you know what? God says, this is what I want my family to get closer. We need the gift of hospitality here. I don't know why. This is not the one that I wanted to stick on, but this seems to be the one I'm landing on here today. Hospitality. Hospitality. Now, I know this. Our church is growing. I mean, Phil Marlowe has talked about that, where we think that this church could end up going. And it grows anymore, and it continues to grow. You're not going to know everybody. Is that okay with you? It should be, because we don't know everybody right now. Right? Because some of us leave this church so fast, we're not even going to get a chance to talk to someone. But it's okay. If you have the gift of hospitality, you can just get their number and call them and have them come over. Yeah. Yeah. Here's the flip side of hospitality. If you have it, you can have burnout. You can wear yourselves out because you're not being able to get the things done you need at your own house. Listen, I'm talking about myself here, but you can burn out. You can do that. You can wear yourself out. And somebody at your house might break something. You got to be okay with that. And you got to be careful you don't forget about yourself. Okay? That's the spiritual gift of hospitality. But there are other gifts that God has given to us as well. There is evangelism. Evangelism is one where you share the gospel. It just comes natural. You share the gospel. Phil Fisher has that gift. I know he does. Celibacy. What is celibacy? Now, I want to tell you, when you're taking these surveys, some of these spiritual gift surveys will say that there's like 18 gifts. They pull these right out of Ephesians, Corinthians, and 1 Peter. They'll pull those out. But through Scripture, there's some other ones as well. Some will add them, some won't. This is one, celibacy. There's a person who's devoted themselves to God pretty much and just knows that, you know what, I'm just not going to get married, just not going to do that, and I'm just going to be single, and I'm going to give my life to the Lord, and I'm going to give all in, and that's just what they do. Listen, you've seen it, and you read the Scriptures where Paul says, if you can't control yourself, get married. You keep seeing that, you know, all that. Even if you're a widow, you need to burn with passion, all that. But here it is. But if you've been given the spiritual gift of celibacy, doesn't mean you're not going to have moments of time of testing, but your celibacy is going to be you are separating yourself. God's calling you to a life of not being with someone. Okay? And they're okay with that. They might have their moments, but they're okay with that. Sometimes, also another spiritual gift is pastor. Also a missionary, someone that goes out from the church, missionary. There's also miracles as well. There's tongues and interpretation of tongues. There's voluntary poverty. There's some people that just don't care really about money. God's called them in. They just take that whole life of poverty. And there's flip sides of that too. We don't want to boast in any gift that we have. God takes care of them. And God does this. It's a God-given gift. Apostleship. It's not the same as being apostolic. An apostle is not the same thing. And we also see the spiritual gift of helps. And some of those spiritual gifts, we just don't have time to go over, but they are there. Of all the ones that we mentioned, you have something. You have something. And even if you're 20 years old or 22, God has something in there. Keep seeking the Lord out. You can pray. And if you got one or two gifts and you're thinking, man, how do I use those gifts? You can work on those gifts. Continue to read Scripture on those gifts. But also, sometimes we do need to seek the gifts. We can ask God, Lord, give me more discernment. Lord, give me, even if it's not the full spiritual gift, you can say, Lord, just help me with some discernment. Help me with some hospitality. Help me just get beyond these couple of things. You don't have to have the spiritual gift of hospitality to have someone over at your house. You don't have to have spiritual gift of discernment to know something's wrong in the room. Sometimes, you know, God just gives us, says, His Holy Spirit reveals it to us. There's something wrong in the room. Okay, so just sometimes we have to ask the Lord to tweak something for us. Well, why would we have to do that? Because here it is. We're communicating with God. We're leaning on His power and not our own. Anytime you lean on yourself, you will find yourself in problematic things. But when you lean on the Holy Spirit and you lean on the Lord, you're letting the Lord lead. And I think whenever you let the Lord lead, you're in the best place you could possibly be. And you don't have to have that spiritual gift to get through things. Sometimes you need to seek out others that have the wisdom or knowledge or something that you are working through in your walk with the Lord. We need to know who those people are that can help you with those things in your life. And the struggling part of healings is, I beg you, you don't have to go see a certain person who's on TV to get a healing. I've heard that a couple of times. I need to go to Chicago because somebody there is going to be healing people. Listen, the Lord is here too. The Lord can do things. And also know that Scripture says that those, just take elders, and James chapter 5, you can bring the elders together, anoint someone, and the elders pray over that person, and there's healing there as well. We don't need to seek out famous names and drop big checks to get healings. So here we are with these things. The spiritual gift of faith is just as strong as all of these others. Every one of you have at least one spiritual gift. Do you know what it is? And if you know what it is, are you using it? Are you trying to figure it out? Now, I also want to remind you, these are not idols, which means something you worship. It doesn't make you Superman. It doesn't make you have extra powers and those kind of things. Because God can turn them on and turn them off. And they're done by faith. They're done by faith. There's also another gift I did not talk about that is talked a lot, is intercession. There's some people that just, every one of us pray. Amen? I pray that we all pray to the Lord. But there's the gift of intercession is a gift where people can just, some people could just, it's not about the length of time, but these people spend time, hours and hours in prayer. How they just pray. They're always in communication with the Lord. And they're always doing that. You're like, how can they do that? Well, it's not natural for a man to be in that long, but the Holy Spirit draws us to pray. And the spiritual gift of intercession commits a person into praying so much and so long and has other people on their mind. So my question for you today, if the spiritual gift that you have in the Lord, if it's bubbling and it's living, it's moving, it's good for you. Thank you for using that in the church. If it's one that you're like, you know what, I'm not sure. You know what, you keep seeking. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. You see, each one of these I've given the answer for what we're looking for is always in Scripture. Always seeking the Lord. And I also want to say that there are things that the church needs. We need better hospitality in the church and outside of our church when we do things. We need some with the spiritual gift of discernment. We need people that know that as well. We need people with faith. We need the whole peace. Amen? We need the whole peace for this church to become strong. And stronger than it is. Yes. Yeah. Father, I thank you for just giving us just a couple of weeks of just looking at these spiritual gifts. I pray, Father, we've taken in what we've needed to today for these spiritual gifts. I pray, Father, Lord, that your Spirit would just move upon us in a way that only you can. As you continue to grow this church physically, I know that you're working on it spiritually. And I pray, Father, today that you do your work. And then we would be obedient to you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. I want to give an opportunity for us to...